5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College.
Houston Community College. Start here. Go anywhere.
Live from the 1560 studios, high atop the Gow building, overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome one, welcome all to Dynamo All Access on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Get ready for this Friday night and the Houston Dash taking on the Seattle Reign with Hope Solo and Megan Rapinoe. But let me clue you into something. The real story of the Reign is the top midfield in the NWSL. They did not lose any games when Solo and Rapinoe went away to the World Cup. That midfield trio of Keelan Winters, who does the holding job, Jessica Fishlock, and Kim Little are the best in the NWSL, and that will be the challenge for the Houston Dash. By the way, Kim Little, one of the great players in the world, along with Fishlock, who did not go to the World Cup. Get your tickets for this match Friday night at HoustonDynamo.com. Now, I'm also calling this match on Fox Sports 1 with Cat Whitehill, the Olympian gold medalist, former U.S. national team defender. But this is a must-win night for the Houston Dash. Get down to the stadium. Again, get your tickets over at HoustonDynamo.com. Welcome in, everybody. Glenn Davis here, and hope you're enjoying your week as we head into what is a very big week for both the Houston Dynamo and the Houston Dash. So our guests on the show tonight, we'll get it straight from the Dynamo manager, Owen Coyle. We'll get it straight from Dash manager Randy Waldrum, Dash goalkeeper Aaron McLeod. Very, very upfront interview. Really enjoyed doing that interview with Aaron McLeod, the goalkeeper, Canadian national team. Talks about the pressure Canada had at the Women's World Cup as well. And Dash striker Kalia Ohai, who's having an excellent second season in Major League Soccer, linking up with Jessica McDonald up front. We'll talk with her as well. She's got some refreshing insight as well here tonight, plus the wisdom of both the managers, Owen Coyle and Randy Waldrum. We're streaming at YSR1560.com. A reminder off the top here, too, because the content that comes through Houston continues to be unbelievable. We're going to have Women's World Cup qualifying down the road. We've got all the Dynamo games. We've got the Dash games. But how about this? September 4th at 7:30, two-time World Cup champions, Argentina, will make a rare and first-time visit here to Houston, Texas. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is a rare opportunity for all of us, that they are coming to Houston, and to see them in the intimacy of BBVA Compass Stadium. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. BBVACompassStadium.com for your tickets, or www.axs.com. You can also call 888-929-7849. The box office, you can also get Argentina tickets, as well as Dynamo and Dash. But I will tell you, get your tickets for Argentina. Do not wait. I already purchased a pair right when they went on sale because it's not an opportunity to be missed. Again, two-time World Cup champions Argentina against Bolivia, September 4th. Tickets at bbvacompassstadium.com, www.axs.com, 888-929-7849. The Dynamo on the road at Portland Friday night, so you can catch the Dash, then head home, catch the Late Late Show with the Dynamo in Portland. These are huge games for both of the teams. The Dynamo coming off a 2-0 loss at New England. The magnifying glass now is on them, again, on artificial surface in Portland. The Dynamo competed evenly with New England. This was a very strange night at Gillette Stadium for those of you who hung in there. Two weather delays in Foxborough. After the second delay, the first one occurred 13 minutes in. The second one occurred at halftime, which just extended the halftime for a significant period of time, which you know, players are trying to stay connected, mentally strong. It's not an easy night for all involved. After the break, New England basically came out and outworked the Dynamo. It's just the way I see it on artificial surface. They ended up winning the game 2-0 on goals by Jose Gonzalez and Juan Agudelo. Gonzalez would get goal number one, finding himself unmarked at the far post in the 69th minute. It would be his first of the year. He'd beat Tyler Derrick at the near post after Derrick really keeping the Dynamo in it with some spectacular saves. Here's what goal number one for New England and Gonzalez sounded like on Root Sports.
Bit of a short one. It comes back to Lee Wynn. He will drive in the dipping cross. Horse got there. Volley time. Shot the goal. New England just smashed it in. It's the center back, Jose Gonzalez, in the 69th minute.
88th minute, with the Dynamo pushing forward, the counterattack would lead to a Juan Agudelo goal for the Revolution. Again, here is what it sounded like on Root Sports. This would be the second goal in the 2-0 win for New England.
New England has defended and hunted the ball like crazy here tonight. Hurdling that tackle is Lee Wynn. Good long touch from Wynn. He's going to square it. It's Agudelo. It's goal number two. It's going to sink the Dynamo here. Lee Wynn to Juan Agudelo. And the Revolution now have a two-goal lead.
So a tough night on the artificial surface. The Dynamo would make a bit of a push late again. But in the end, this was New England. Just seemed like they wanted it more. Seemed like they had an extra player on the field. Seemed like it was 12 against 11. They were getting to things quicker. They were sharper. We all know the combative nature of games on the artificial surface. And for me, sometimes it really comes down to purely will. Who's going to compete? Who's going to fight that little bit harder to get on the end of second balls? Because aesthetically, they were always tough games. Now, the hope might have been for the Dynamo to see this match out and pick up a point with only 21 minutes to go. Because 21 minutes to go, 69th minute, it's 0-0. Point, you continue the momentum, and then you roll the dice in Portland trying to pick off three. Now, the Dynamo loss combined with a Seattle win over Orlando gives Seattle now a four-point edge over the Dynamo. And by the way, Seattle goes out and signs Nelson Valdez, who played over 100 games for Borussia Dortmund, has represented Paraguay internationally. Excellent player. And then they sign that big center back, Roman Torres, from Panama. So they may have made two signings that can help them right the ship, because remember, they went from first in the West all the way currently to sixth, 4 points ahead of the Dynamo. Incidentally, Obafemi Martins comes back and scores a spectacular goal. So the Dynamo, can they respond on Friday? This is the question. Giles Barnes is still trying to recapture that early season form. Let's go back to the early part of the season. Giles Barnes is one of the most talked about players in Major League Soccer, producing play after play, exciting entertainment, fresh, bursting out of midfield with vigor and vim, and then goes on an odyssey with Jamaica to the Copa America and the Gold Cup, and he's got to be fatigued. This is the tug and tussle of club and country, which not only do the Dynamo and Owen Coyle have to contend with, but also the Houston Dash and coach Randy Waldrum. Ricardo Clark, it looks like, remains out injured. DeMarcus Beasley went off with a calf injury that tightened up during the break against New England in these long weather breaks. Jermaine Taylor got injured in the Gold Cup. There's another Gold Cup casualty. Who knows if he's even back this year? It's that bad of an injury. So the Dynamo truly need a boost. It's got to come from the big-name players. It's got to come from the stars. It's got to be the Giles Barneses, the Brad Davises, the Boniac Garcias. It is at that time now for Eric Cubo Torres as a designated player to bring this team a lift. Dynamo and Portland Friday night. Go down, catch the Dash first. Get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Catch that great game. Over 7,000 already sold. And then come home and catch the Dynamo against the Portland Timbers. Now, let's talk about what is an amazing roster for Argentina, who will take on Bolivia. Again, this is an amazing match that will be played in the intimacy of BBVA Compass Stadium. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to have Argentina coming to Houston to see them up close and personal in a small stadium. Here is the roster that Gerardo Tata Martino has named. 24 players are traveling on this roster. Of course, a couple days later, they're going to play Mexico up in Dallas. Sergio Romero, who's been starting in goal for Manchester United, is one of three goalkeepers. Nahuel Guzman and Augustin Marquesin, the other two goalkeepers. Defenders, listen to the names. Javier Mascherano, Martin DeMichelis, Marcos Rojo, Nicolas Otamendi, Ezequiel Garay, Pablo Zabaleta, all players on top teams around the world. Those are defenders, by the way. In midfield, Angel Di Maria, Fernando Gago, Roberto Pereira, Eric Lamella of Spurs, Javier Pastore, Lucas Bilia, Ever Banega, and then up front. I mean, wait till you hear these five names I'm about to say. Lionel Messi, Sergio Aguero, Carlos Tevez, Apache will be here, who's now with Boca Juniors, Gonzalo Higuain, Ezequiel Lavezzi. So in one broad stroke with Argentina coming here, you are seeing a number of the world stars. Now, tickets for this game start at $48. They're on sale. And like I said, you got to get them now. 888-929-7849. You can get them at the BBVA Compass Stadium box office. There's Dynamo bundle packages available that you can purchase. 713-276-GOAL. You can also go to bbvacompassstadium.com. You can go to www.axs.com. And again, you can call 888-929-7849. Or you can go down to the box office as well. I bought mine online. I've already printed them out. They're hanging over my desk. I'm waiting for September 4th. It is going to be a big moment in Houston soccer history with Argentina coming here. And, you know, it reminds me of coming here in 1984 to play with the Houston Dynamos. The soccer landscape was very different. But even back then, there were international games being played. We would play teams from El Salvador, the Fosses, the Firpos, the Alianzas, teams from Mexico, Guadalajara, even teams from England. I remember Sheffield United being brought over here, and I think their fee to play the game was $10,000. The fee for Argentina to come here, I would imagine, is somewhere between, it's got to be $1.5 million plus. I would even say closer to $2 million, somewhere in that area. Somewhere in between it will land. Think about that. And Sheffield United came with Phil Thompson, who was a big English star. So times have changed. And you go through this process of watching the sport grow here and bloom, and now there's a stadium built here by the Dynamo ownership. And without the stadium being here and being built and a pro team here, you might not get all this content. So these are the other benefits of having the Houston Dynamo in town and having Energy Stadium being a site in Lone Star Sports and Entertainment over there bringing in soccer content. And we tip our hats to all those who were bringing in teams from the Mexican League way back when it was a whole different ballgame. Again, it's Argentina against Bolivia. Get your tickets, bbvacompassstadium.com, www.axis.com, axs.com, 888-929-7849, or 713-276-GOAL. And you can get the bundle package with the Dynamo. So it's Argentina, it's Dynamo, it's Dash, it's all happening right here in Houston, Texas. We'll take a break. We got a lot more to come here tonight. Some really interesting interviews tonight with Dynamo manager Owen Coyle, the manager of the Houston Dash, Randy Waldrum. We will talk to Aaron McLeod. We will talk to Kalia Ojai. A lot more to go here on the show tonight. It's Dynamo All Access, Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. You can follow me at Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, SOC, or Facebook. Follow us, Soccer Matters, and get over to HoustonDynamo.com. Bud Light reminds you, they want you down to see the Houston Dash taking on the Seattle Reign. They want you and like-minded individuals to take in the game at BBVA Compass Stadium. Bud Light says, hey, get down to the Dash, get down to the Dynamo, and get down to Argentina and Bolivia. Bud Light, longtime sponsors of Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM, Dynamo All Access. Without Bud Light and Budweiser, Glenn Davis and soccer content would not be on the radio. They have been there from the beginning. I appreciate that. And I hope all of us here in Houston appreciate the efforts that these sponsors make to get us on the air. Thank you, Bud Light. We'll take a break. More to come.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, each and every week, as we mentioned, we get the manager, Owen Coyle, and I know a lot of the Houston area fans have been very excited to hear from the manager weekly and in-depth about the team. He joins us again now in this week's version. He's Owen Coyle. Owen, thank you for coming on.
Pleasure, Glenn. Looking forward to the chat, as always.
All right, so let's get it going here with going back to what was a pretty wild and crazy night with two weather delays in New England. Let's just get your overall thoughts on this one in general.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I have to say it's the first time I've experienced a game that's lasted 5.5 hours. It's certainly something that we're not accustomed to, obviously, back home. Having said that, it was the same for both teams in terms of the lightning delays and the weather holds. It's not ideal for players, I've got to say that, so much so that even in terms of the spectators, there was very few left at the end. And it didn't help us, particularly DeMarcus Beasley, tweaked his calf. He restarted the second time, but then when it came to the third time, it was just impossible because it tightened up. Gerald Barnes had the same issue with his Achilles, although he tried to play through it. Will Bruin had tweaked his knee a couple of weeks ago, and it was the same thing. So that certainly didn't help us, but there's no getting away from, quite simply, that we didn't do well enough in the second period in terms of passing and moving the ball. And if we had taken care of the ball, Glenn, as we spoke about in the build-up to it, then we'd have been fine. But that first half, we should have had a penalty in the first half. The referee, as he told our lads, it was a penalty, but there was an early infringement. But there was no infringement, so that was hard to take. Having said that, we know that it was self-inflicted in terms of the goal we lost from the a set play that's easily cleared. We've headed up in the air, and the boy King Calvers has caught it on the volley at the back post. So I think there was small margins again, without playing well, that we could easily have achieved a positive result and kept the great run going, because we've been in fine form. We've played 9 of the last 14 games on the road, which is an incredible ask of the players. But they've stuck to their task. They've kept us in the hunt for those playoff places. And, you know, they deserve enormous credit for that. What we must do now, Glenn, in the remaining 10 games, 5 at home, 5 away, is go and pick up the points that sees us finishing with that momentum and being in a chance to try and make those playoff spots.
The first 45, it looked, you know, we're calling the game and we're going, well, it looks like they're up for the moment here. Ball's moving pretty well. And then we get into the second 45 and it just seems like New England has upped their level of intensity and pressure and edge and fight and determination. And to me, that was what the difference was in the game at the end.
Well, I think there's merit in that. I certainly think they came out on the front foot and with a real intention and a high intensity. There's no getting away from that. But they came out with that in the first half also, Glenn. The difference was we took care of the ball better, and that nullified the intensity because we passed round about them. But if we don't take care of the ball as we didn't in the second period, it allows their pressure to build, and it keeps them in a dangerous area of the park. Having said all that, Glenn, the goal, I mean, that's not what came from the goal. It came from a corner. It was a short corner played. We showed the players that the louder cross in. Young AJ, to be fair, goes to attack the ball and gets something on it, but not enough. And then even then, I mean, I thought Tyler had 2 or 3 good saves in the game. But Tyler is such a perfectionist that he felt that he could possibly have saved that as well. So, and then, as you know, we pushed on to get the equaliser. We should have had a penalty as well with Cubo Torres right through in goal. And, I mean, there was 2 bizarre positions, Glenn. And I don't want to, we're not hiding behind that, we're not using that as an excuse. We should have played better. But there's no doubt both of those decisions went against the Dynamo again, and it's been a recurring theme. Having said that, we pick ourselves up and we go again. I can't, and we as this group, and I've spoken this morning, we can't affect what's behind us. It's a chance that we've passed us by, and it was a real opportunity to get points from a good side, a side that won the MLS Cup final last year against Los Angeles Galaxy. So this is a very good team. But we showed for a long period, particularly in the first half, that we were certainly as good as what they had. So we have to pick ourselves up, go to Portland now, then Colorado. That'll be 11 out of 16 games in a row. So it's been a huge ask of this group of players, given that it was a team that never played the playoffs last year in the East, and we're now in a far tougher conference in the West. But they've really worked hard at everything we're implementing, and we know what we're putting in place is going to serve this club well for years to come. But within doing that, we want to be winning in the here and now and keeping that going, the momentum that we'd built previously.
Owen Coyle, Dynamo manager, joining us here ahead of the game in Portland. The game will be on this Friday night, so that's when you're going to have to tune in to catch the Dynamo at Portland. It will be a national broadcast. You laid it out good, Owen, because you did say going into this game, ball retention, ball possession, managing games, it has to be good. And certainly in the first 45 minutes you did that, but clearly it wasn't carried on into that second long, you know, it was the second time there was a weather delay,
yeah.
but it didn't occur there. And then you have to say, okay, why? And was it because, you know, at that point, do you need a specific person to take command of the team? What is it that you really kind of focus in on then?
Yeah, I think there's tremendous merit in that, Glenn. I think, and you know this from your own experience of playing, you know, people and players have all different personalities, different traits. Some people are quiet off the pitch, some people are loud, different bubbly personalities. But as you know, because we've played that game, when you're on that field, Glenn, you have to be loud. You have to be roaring like a bull and taking charge. And that's something, I mean, I'm trying to have an inherited squad there. Something we're trying to bring, that they've got to be vocal, use their voices, be leaders in the pitch. And I felt, you know, if we'd that bit in the second half, when New England did start well and they've got a wee bit of momentum, then that's when the big leaders take the sting out of the game. They bring the game back to it and they organise and we take it from there. And I think that was a little bit of it. There's a lot of small margins that make up our game, but there's little bits like that, and I think it's a valid point that we could have taken, you know, taken charge of our own fate in the game. You know, you're under pressure, okay, let's just take that down, let's just start passing, moving that ball again in the right areas. And then that, as I said, it nullifies their intensity. And we were always dangerous, as you know, except players with one that just whistled by the post at 0-0 from David Horst. And second, I mean, then we pushed on. Obviously, we went more adventurous again, even on late in the game, and pushed on for the equaliser and two or three half chances that went across the face of the goal and such forth. So we know the margins are very fine, but we also know as well the improvement we've made. It's there for people to see, and we continue to do that. And that's a great thing. This is a group of players that are very hardworking, very conscientious. They love being part of the Dynamo because they know they're a special club with a fantastic fan base. And, you know, we want to reward them, and we will. We certainly will reward them in time, but we also want to be doing it just now as well.
He's Owen Coyle joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. I know it's a big ask. You know, Giles Barnes has come back. He's been all over the place. He's going to head out again to play for Nicaragua. This is a major challenge for you because, look, I don't think there's any question. He was one of the most electrifying players before leaving with Jamaica in this league. He was one of the most talked about players. He was deciding games for you. Now you get back a guy that's a bit fatigued and has been on a bit of an odyssey worldwide. You got an injury to Beasley. You know, these are the players that have to be the margin of difference for you down the road, don't they?
Yeah, they are. And that's not getting away from, you know, we've got some very good players.
Yeah, I say that with all respect. I mean,
no, you're absolutely right. But you're spot on, Glenn, because I'll tell you why. And it's very simple. You know, within any group and any roster, you have key players, you have big players, you have players that will play 15 games and players that will play 34 games and such forth. And when you have a DeMarcus Beasley and a Giles Barnes, Raul Rodriguez, these are real difference makers at our level. And sometimes you can replace, well, more often than not, you can replace, you know, your players, your squad players for like. But with all due respect, I can't really replace Giles Barnes like for like because I don't have another one like him. I don't have another one like DeMarcus Beasley, if you follow me. So when your big players miss, and we have missed them for huge periods this season, that's why the group of them have been an absolute credit to themselves and deserve enormous praise for that. We've kept ourselves right in the mix, given all the trials and tribulations we've been through with Copa America, with Gold Cups, with suspensions, with injuries, with some horrible decisions that's went against us. But this group keep coming back, they keep picking themselves up, they keep pushing forward for the Dynamo, and that's great, great traits, great attributes they have. But Giles, if we speak about him specifically, you're right. You see every game he plays, he gets physically battered because the opponents know he's a dangerous player. He's travelled all over, as you know, with the competitions. So that, of course, there's an element that, you know, he needs in terms of the fatigue that he needs to be brought down a level and get fully healthy. I mean, he's played through injury, little knocks, Achilles, and different stuff because he wants to be out there. He cares about the team. So what we've got to do is find a way that we can get them through the games and still keep them fresh and healthy and, importantly, have a big, big part to play in terms of the remaining 10 games. So that's always a challenge, Glenn. I mean, the both competitions that came, as I said, I mean, I'm on record and you know my feelings on it, Copa America and Gold Cup.
Yep.
They take away our players from playing for the Dynamo. And that, I mean, I want my players to do well, but my first objective is to make sure they're fit and healthy for the Dynamo. And we have suffered badly through that. Boniek Garcia went away with Honduras. We missed him for 2 months. Jermaine Taylor's possibly out to the end of the season. Picked up an injury while playing in the Gold Cup in Jamaica. These lads have been away not picking up injuries playing for the Dynamo. They're picking them up in international duty. So that's come back to really hurt us. But so we are getting now between DeMarcus Beasley and Giles, trying to get them fit and healthy for Portland. And again, putting the best team possible on the field to go and win a tough, tough game. But a game that we are capable of winning, absolutely. And at this moment, our destiny, our fate is in our own hands. We control that with 5 games at home and 5 away, 9 of them against conference rivals. So we make sure that we dictate everything moving forward.
That was part one with Dynamo manager Owen Coyle. Stay with us. We'll come back with part two. And a reminder, get your Argentina-Bolivia tickets at bbvacompassstadium.com.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Dynamo All Access here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. A great time to remind you, get your tickets over at HoustonDynamo.com for both the Dynamo and Houston Dash. And you can also go over there and get tickets for Argentina-Bolivia. There are some great bundle packages there. You can call 888-929-7849 or 713-276-GOAL for Argentina and Bolivia and Dynamo and Dash. This is part two of Owen Coyle. You know, when DeMarcus Beasley goes off, and I know there's no way to really validate, but, you know, when he's not available for this second half in this game, and he's been such a big piece of the team lately, led the way against San Jose, he gets extracted from the team because the calf tightens up. How do you validate what type of influence that might have on others? You can sit there and say, you know, yeah, we got our next guy, and our next guy's coming in, or whoever it is, and the whole group of the team. Sometimes the mood can change with one of your big players going off of the entire team.
Absolutely, of course it can. And I don't think there's, you know, at the end of the day, we've got good players coming in. I mean, Kofi's come in. Is Kofi a left back like DeMarcus Beasley? No, because Kofi's a naturally right-sided player. Sure. And obviously then there's the element that he wants to make sure he keeps himself right in a left-back position as opposed to the right-back. But DeMarcus also, the way we play, Glenn, as you know, is an influence on us moving forward in terms of that attacking theme as well. And it allows Brad then to come in on that half position. But when all said and done, that's just one of the things that we have to cope with, one of the things we have to deal with and go on with it. I mean, Raul misses the game, who's been outstanding for us, you know. Giles, again, Will's got to come out. So it happens. We've got to go on with it. But what I do know is, and that's why I mentioned the group, that group have come in and played the Alex Lemers, the Lionel Mirandas. These boys have come in and really shown that they're ready, they're up for the fight, and they want to be a part of the Dynamo. So that's great moving forward. The young crop of players, we're still getting, you know, Manotas is going to be an outstanding player. Obviously, he's vying for that striker spot with Will Bruin and Eric Torres. But I'm telling you, he's going to be a fantastic player. So I know, as I say, moving forward, this is going to be an exciting team. We're never going to have the financial clout and the wealth of the Galaxy and Toronto and New York City. But what we are going to have, we're going to have a very good team within our own budget, our own environment, and a team that will be challenging year in, year out. I've got no doubts about that. But what I want to do is finish this season strong and be challenging in the here and now, knowing when we can make and make changes again in the off-season, we're going to have something very good moving forward.
You know, I go back to the game on the artificial surface because you have to do it again in Portland.
Yeah.
honestly, is this really about just who fights harder and wants to win at the artificial surface? Is that a big component of it and a much bigger component of it than a game that's on a softer environment and on a good grass field?
Well, I mean, I'm, as you know, Glenn, I'm old-fashioned in some respects, and I've always believed that games should be played on grass fields. That's how we play the game. I don't believe you get a true game on the artificial surface. I do think, and I don't want to over-exaggerate it, but I think if people do have any niggly injuries, then it highlights them. And, you know, it brings them to the fore. I've got no doubts about that. And for me, I think the league we've got the fastest growing league in global soccer. And I do feel, I know this club that a lot of the clubs say it's because of climate and everything else, but I just feel, given the expenditure we've had in the league, everybody, you know, really should be playing on grass fields and soccer-specific stadiums. But, again, I suppose that'll come in time. For us, we've just got, as I said before, go there. Is that an advantage to those clubs? Absolutely. Because they play on it every second week, they train on it. We've just got to go to Portland, make sure we're ready, treat that game as a cup final, a one-off game, and go and give our maximum to get that positive result.
Now, you know, it was interesting to see Seattle. Here's a team that struggled, has dropped from first to sixth in the playoff race, and all of a sudden they get Omafemi Martins back. He dribbles through five guys, scores a goal, and all of a sudden things are 180 degrees different in Seattle.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's another example of specific players making plays at the right time during this stretch run. It's vital, isn't it?
Well, it is vital, but it was not only Obafemi Martins, Glenn. I mean, Seattle went out and spent an absolute fortune in the last 2 weeks bringing three players in.
That's right, Valdez and from...
Absolutely. And then, obviously, at the back, Roman Torres at centre-back as well. So, and it's not that they brought in average players. They brought in international-class players and spent a fortune to do it. So, I mean, along the way, everybody's always got to give balance to everything that's going on. But having said that, Seattle sit just now 4 points ahead of us. We have a game in hand. We're still to play Seattle at the BBVA. So, you know, as much as they can go and win games, so can we. So that's my focus. Make sure our group's ready to give our best. And when we do that, we can win games. But you're right. The point you made is absolutely 100% correct. You need your difference makers. You need them fresh and lively at the business end of the season, which I always call it, to be the match winners, to be able to turn games on a tuppence halfpenny, as we say back home, on a dime, you'll say over here. But you need those players that can make a difference.
All right, today you guys had an exciting signing with an academy player, Christian Lucatero. I know I've watched him out of training with you guys, and I know you've had an eye on him. Where do you see his future going? Because obviously you've signed him to a contract. You think there's a big reach and potential for him?
Well, we do, Glenn. This is something, I mean, and I know you and I always say this, we're going to come in this studio and just have a program about youth development and everything else, because I'd love to sit down and chat through that. And when we get a time, you and I will do that. But this, for me, is an important cog of what we want to do at the Dynamo. Houston is such a vast area. You're not telling me that there's not talented young players out in the Houston area. So what I'm encouraging, obviously, James Clarkson does a very good job as our academy director and head of the academy. We want to bring and entice those young players into the Houston, the Dynamo Academy, so that we can bring them to fruition to play at the BBVA. And what we've done now with the USL initiative is we've found a path, Glenn, from straight, you know, sometimes it's impossible to go straight from under 18 to play in the first team. But we're now finding a path, a bridge, if you want to say, that these young players can find a way through to eventually play for the Dynamo. And by doing that, we then have a business model as well, that we have young players, vibrant players, you know, that have an affiliation with our supporters because they're homegrown. And will it take time? Absolutely. But Christian Lucatero, for me, sends a message out that if you're good enough in that academy, you're going to find your way into our Houston Dynamo first team. And now Christian has talent, he has ability. He needs to fulfil that potential. Myself, my staff, we'll give him every ounce of the wisdom, the experience, the knowledge, everything that we've picked up over the years. He's got to be the biggest driving force behind that. He's got to be the one that pushes himself on to maximise that potential and have a career within the MLS.
Owen, tell my listeners a little bit about what type of player he is, because he certainly looks like a very good technical player, very good on the ball.
He is. He's a very, I mean, a lot of people would equate him with being a number 10 because he has that flair. He has a terrific shot. He can score a goal. He can see a pass. He's got wonderful balance in terms of, he can take people on 1v1 situations. He's got wonderful touch. What he needs to learn is obviously the other side of that, because he's been such a good player. He's probably not had a lot of responsibility against the ball. And you know, we play it, then obviously everybody has to be a two-way player. They have to be comfortable, very comfortable with the ball technically, but they also have to do their job with the team against it. So it's just a standard game, evolving as young players do. But, I mean, we, without getting carried away, we've got high hopes that he could have a very good career. But it's understanding, and I think it's expectation. You know, don't expect too much too soon. He's a young kid. Just as we've seen with the ones that come in from the foreign countries, they've got to learn, they've got to adapt. But he has natural ability. And when you have natural ability, you've always got a chance. What you've got to do is, you know, Glenn, you've got to bring the hard work with that ability. Because, as you and I know, you know, when you equate talent and hard work, then hard work will always beat talent when talent doesn't work hard. So, I mean, that's one of the old famous quotes we know from our game. Mm-hmm. So as much as you're talented, you must bring the hard work with it. And when you combine both of them, then that's when you get special players.
Owen, how is he fit in with the higher speed of play and being around professionals in your eyes? Good start for him?
Absolutely, and that's a good point, Glenn, because what you'll find is the players trust him with the ball. They know he's got a good touch. They know he's got movement when he moves. He's pleasing on the eye, so they can see that, they recognise that. And to be fair to the senior players, they've took him under the wing. They're explaining him to you, it's not just one way that you play with the ball. You've got to work against it. And when you do that, then it elevates you in the eyes of these senior players. So bit by bit, I think he's grasping it. And as I said before, it's up to him now to really push himself, listen to the advice from myself, the coaches, take that on board. We'll certainly not nullify the talent. He goes, well, we'll enhance that, we encourage that, but as long as he knows that he's bringing the other side so that it balances it out and he helps the team, which is all important, because we're all about team, we're all about the group ethos. That'll be our strength as a group. It's great to have talented individuals, but your strength will always be as a group.
All right, so we continue to dig in with the manager, Owen Coyle. That was part two. Stay with us through this commercial break. When we come back, there's more to come. Part three of Owen Coyle.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Houston Community College. Once again from the 1560 Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Dynamo All Access. Now, it is part three of Owen Coyle. He's Dynamo manager Owen Coyle. We're talking about new signing 18-year-old from the academy, Christian Lucatero. The ever-important character, strength, and mental strength, how does that look with him? Obviously, it looks pretty good. You wouldn't have signed him.
Yes, and that's the thing that you need, because the game that we're in, it's a roller coaster. There's highs and lows, and the important thing is, as you and I know, that you always stay balanced. When you're doing well, as we've been doing, you never ever get too high, because the nature of the game. And equally, when you've lost a game, then you don't get too low. You don't become the worst team in the world. You've lost a game and there's reasons for losing it, as you and I have spoken and touched upon briefly. So we've got to look into them, understand, right, that's what we need to correct. And that's how you move forward as a group. So we do that. We take it, we lost, we take it in the chin and we pick ourselves up again and we get going again. And that starts now. And the beauty of our sport, our game, is that when you've been hurt and disappointed by losing a game, the next game affords you the opportunity to pick yourself up, go and get 3 points and get that feeling that we all want, that winning feeling where we've all stuck together, we've all worked hard, and we've went and we've earned a valuable 3 points.
So I assume you are wanting a response in Portland.
Absolutely. And again, we've got, as you know, bumps and bruises and injuries, and one or two might miss out. But then that's the onus is on the others that come in to step in to show, I want to have a future, I want to have a career at a Dynamo. Because this, as I say, at the business end of the season, that's what I'm looking for. I'm challenging them now to be a part of what we are doing moving forward. And if you do want to be a part of it, don't think about it. Show me now. Show me you want to be a part of the Dynamo moving forward.
He's the Dynamo manager, Owen Coyle. We get all this great insight each and every week from him. Now, here's something I've said on the radio, and I know, this is just my humble opinion. I have said and positioned this year as this is an overachievement if Owen Coyle steers his team into the playoffs, because of all the change, because of all the newness, because of all the hard work that's going on and patience that needs to be afforded in order to build a team. I know you're not going to want to agree with that because it's a system of playoffs in the MLS and everybody wants to be there. But that's how I've positioned it, because I really truly believe I see a lot of very positive things going on, from man management to style of play, all kinds of different things. I wonder if fans see that.
Well, I would hope they do, because you're right in many respects about that, Glenn. And as I explained when we came in, and this is not, the one thing, as you know, you've spent enough time with me to know that we take accountability and responsibility, and it's something we take very seriously. And having had the success in my career as a manager, head coach, then we know what we need to do to bring that success to Houston Dynamo. Do we want it for as soon as you hit the ground? Of course you do. But good things always take time. And what we're implementing and moving forward, then that's going to help us. There's no doubt about it. We don't have the instant wealth that we buy ready-made players. We can't go and get a Giovanni De Santos and like that. But what we can do is intelligently and incrementally place, in terms of implementing the changes that we want to make. And this reminds me, Glenn, actually, very much, and I said this to Chris, my Connecticut president, the other day, it reminds me very much of Burnley, when I came into Burnley. We came in and the team were struggling, so we came in and we got them steadied and we improved them. not, I would say, 300%, but we improved them enough that people could see the improvement. And then what we did at the end of that season, I knew that I needed three or four bits of the jigsaw to take us to I felt, you know, another level. And we had the third lowest budget in the Championship at that time, and we did that. We one or two moved out who were good players that gave us the finance then to bring the bits of the jigsaw in that we need. And with the three or four bits, as I say, the rest was history. We played 61 games that season, went on two unbelievable cup runs, but we also got promoted to the Premier League with the third lowest budget out of 24 teams. So you don't. What I'm trying to say is you don't have to have the money of the Galaxy and the Toronto and the New York cities. Of course, it always helps when you have those ready-made players, but we can build something special at Dynamo within our own plan and our own financial structure that can bring us success year in, year out, have us challenging being on in those playoffs year in, year out. And that's our aim, and I know exactly the steps to take to do that. But equally, I understand that people want to win in the here and now. So that's why we're still trying to continue as we are with this momentum. I mean, the last 14 games, Glenn, and nine of those have been on the road. We would sit fourth in the conference, fifth in the conference in terms of our points return. So we've actually been doing very well, given, as I say, nine of those games have been on the road. So we don't lose sight of that. I know the big picture as you do, and the improvement's been there for everyone to see. I mean, I think we have zero goal difference in terms of we've scored the same amount as we've conceded. I still believe we can improve in both areas of that. But, I mean, that's night and day from where the Dynamo were last year. So we have to keep striving to move forward. We've moved from a different... If we were, with all due respect, to the Eastern Conference, if we were still in the Eastern Conference, we'd be the top end of that conference. I truly believe that in terms of the quality between the East and the West. So we know that we're doing the right things, we're implementing the right stuff, how hard Chris Kinetti, the president, is working, how hard Matt Jordan, all my staff. We're working our socks off every day to put in place success for the Dynamo to come, and we know that will come.
Owen, do you have time for a Premier League question or two? Because I know my listeners love it when you also talk a little Premier League.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so during your managerial career, and you know, when you have a player that's considered a star player in your team and they're getting on in years and it's time to transition them out, boy, that's always a difficult proposition. So I'm kind of leading towards John Terry and Chelsea and that whole situation there without – bringing my opinion into it, but that's always a dicey situation, isn't it? Because in the end, somebody gets hurt.
No, you're right, because what you've got to understand is, and John Terry's probably the perfect example, because these players have been fantastic savings, Glenn, for the club. They love the club, they're through and through. But what you've got to understand, people have got to understand as well, as fantastic as the savings they have been, and the clubs have also been very good for those players as well. And what it is it's like we've all been there. There comes a day when all due respect, whoever you are, you're not the same player as you were before. And ultimately, as head coaches and managers, you've got decisions to make for the well-being and the good of your club. Now, Jose Mourinho made a decision to bring John Terry out of the game at half-time the other day because he felt the movement and the pace of Manchester City were causing him a problem. And Kurt Zouma is very mobile and quick, like Gary Cahill. So he decided that he was going to go with pace to nullify that threat. Now, was it right or wrong? Then, when all said and done, it's not about being right or wrong. It's the fact that he decided to make a decision. And then, of course, some people are saying, well, he won't play again. Now, Jose Mourinho and John Terry have a fantastic relationship. John Terry would be the first to tell you Jose Mourinho was probably the best thing that happened to him in terms of working under him and the success he brought him and everything else. And they both improved together. So I've got no doubt that it's not as big an issue as far as I'm concerned as people made out. He's a wonderful player, John Terry. He had an outstanding season last season, and I've got no doubts he'll contribute again to Chelsea moving forward. Said and done, the manager made a decision, and people should respect that.
Owen, do sometimes managers and clubs remain holding on to the detriment of their club to some of these superstars? You alluded to that.
It's such a fantastic question, and it's not always easy answer. But I tell you, if I could quote Sir Alex, who I obviously spent a lot of time with and helped me enormously. So Alex Ferguson always used to say to me, listen, you're better. And this was his belief. And you only have to look back at, you know, your Yapstams and players of that, and your Paul Ince and those players. And he said, you're always better moving a player a year too early than a year too late.
Wow. Yeah. Think about that, right?
Well, I mean, you know, he's doing it for the right reasons, because obviously if you move them at the right time in your terms, then he obviously then is able to go and get a negotiate at that time a good fee and bring somebody in who's he thinks a better replacement and got years in them, as opposed to a year late, there's no resale value, you've been left with somebody on a huge salary and there's been no contribution in the last year. And the other thing is, you don't want it to finish with any animosity, somebody who's been a wonderful servant. So you can explain the merits of maybe this is the right time to get something fresh and everything else. And sometimes, you know, players, as you know yourself, Glenn, when they've been at a club for so many years, sometimes they need a fresh challenge. And that then gives them a few extra years at the tail end of their career.
Not to mention you get value for them earlier.
Absolutely. I mean, well, that's it. You know, otherwise, as you know, obviously the older they get, then those players become depreciating assets, as opposed to the young ones on the rise who they're appreciating, their prices getting bigger all the time. So there's a fine balancing act between obviously the business side and obviously the soccer side.
Oh, and there's been some interesting things with Leicester City and Claudio Ranieri and then Swansea. I mean, anything jumping out to you in the Premier League so far?
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say, I watched Bournemouth last night, and Eddie, I know Eddie Howe very well.
Bournemouth.
And I think they've been really, really unlucky in both their games. I mean, it was a travesty last night, the decisions that hurt them. So, I mean, I think they've shown that they'll be okay, or certainly competitive. And Leicester has been, that's been a great story, because everybody wrote them off after Nigel left. Nigel done a wonderful job at the tail end of last season. Claudio Ranieri is so experienced, and, you know, he's never going to let that slip away in terms of them being competitive. And again, obviously, Chelsea's slow start's a talking point. Manchester United won two games, and I don't think they were particularly inspiring when you look at both games, but Man City look as if they're a bit between their teeth. It's going to be a fascinating Premier League, it really is.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's going to be a fascinating game on Friday, too. The Dynamo taking on Portland. This is another big one out there in front of that big crowd. Owen, as always, we really do appreciate your time and your extended time on this program to talk not only to me, but also to all our listeners.
Pleasure, Glenn. Thanks as always, Paul.
All right. Best of luck in Portland.
Cheers, mate. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. So that was Owen Coyle. So we heard from the Dynamo manager. Well, if you stay with us, we'll hear from the Houston Dash manager. Randy Waldrum is up next on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. New York.